Hello, everyone. You're listening to Superhero Speak, and this is a special episode. This will be 6.5. This is an apology for our guest, Eric Cooper, who was on the last episode. And when we recorded, we were in a Chinese restaurant, and there was a lot of background noise, and parts of it are really hard to hear. We're not going to take down episode 6 because a podcast is a moment in time, and you can't really recreate it, and we've already put it out there for people to listen to. So if you can listen to that and get through the noise... Please do. There are some good moments in that. But Eric has agreed to do this again, and we're going to put this up tonight so everyone will get to hear his lovely voice.
I wouldn't say lovely, but it gets – I do well for myself.
So welcome back to the show, Eric.
Hey, thanks, guys.
And so let's start off like we did last time. Tell us about Nightseeker and his origin a little bit.
Okay. Nightseeker deals with a college kid. His name is Nigel Spinner. And pretty much for him, he comes across an extraterrestrial event in his life, and a dying police officer, it's almost like a Green Lantern feel to it, a dying officer gives off his abilities and also his technology, along with the abilities to combat certain things that will be happening on Earth as time goes on. And there's actually weapons that fell from another ship that the cop was in combat with. And the weapons fell to Earth. So his mission is now to find the weapons that fell to Earth and pretty much destroy them, or anyone that actually has access to them is to take them out also. So it was a very complex type of storyline because Nigel's human, but his alien side now has the ability to kill in a heartbeat. So he has to kind of suppress that capability because of his human side. And he will kill if he has to, but that human side of him just tries to keep him from doing it.
So it's there's a yin and yang, a battle within him over, yes, I have the ability to take a life, but I really don't want to unless I have to.
Correct.
Also, from my understanding within the books, there's not just the aliens. You have a whole world created that he lives within.
Well, mainly, I mean, we had the sci-fi feel to things because of the weaponry technology, almost like Predator feel to it. Alien, also feel like things like RoboCop and Terminator. Those elements are in the book, but also even some type of, almost like a, we deal with urban landscapes, we deal with mythological beings such as, we deal with vampires, werewolves, draconians. And the fun thing about the draconians, most people don't know about this, and it's kind of a spoiler if you're listening to this, so it's a special part for you guys. Draconians are actually... they're actually were-dragons, so, and they are the hunters of both the vampires and the werewolves. That's part of their food source. It keeps their numbers in check, pretty much. And for a draconian, you're not bitten or scratched to become one. You're actually born as one, and you're born as an egg, and you hatch into a human. Under your skin, you have the reptilian, almost like the Visitors, that TV series. It's almost that kind of feel. And they also have wings, they can fly and stuff like that, too.
Okay. Do they turn others into draconians, or is it you can only be born as one?
Okay. Cool. But they're very limited, and their lifespan is about 1,000 years. As far as vampires, about 400, and werewolves, 200 years.
Ah, so you obviously did a lot of research into these characters or into these creatures for your books.
Yeah, I did. I had to make something fun, yes. Something a little different. And also, they are still affected by the metals. For the vampires, they're affected by gold.
Okay.
For the werewolf, silver still is acclaimed. And as for draconians, actually brass and copper is their weakness.
Cool.
Yeah, so something a little different.
Cool. All right. So, and then, all right, so we know everyone who's listening to this, who's a fan of yours, knows that book 1 and 2 are out.
Yeah.
And I hear book 3 is coming out?
Yeah, book 3 is due out in July, actually at the end of July, around July 27th, debut at a new comic book convention. I'm actually, me and Jabbar Brown over in Delaware, it's called Underground Comic Con.
Oh, okay.
And this is something that, our first time doing our own con. And I said it was something needed, but also for independent people that want to put their work out there in the marketplace. And it's going to be at a Boys and Girls Club. So we had the whole facility to ourselves. So this is very, very different. And hopefully it becomes very popular as time goes on. And we hope to do more of these as time goes on. But Don't Nightseeker 3, It's dealing with a character. His name is the Guillotine.
Mm-hmm.
And the fun part about the Guillotine is that I wanted to bring back some of the old style of, I guess, characters from back in the day where, you know, you had a vigilante being a guy that really will take heads. And but it's more of a moral story because I put the reader into the villain's shoes and saying, look, okay, if you had the ability to take out somebody that was, let's say, a drug dealer or a rapist or something like that, if you had the ability to actually kill them and get away with it, scot clean, would you do it?
That's a good question.
Yeah, and also the funny part about the whole thing is that the main character's name is Ethan Powell, and he's an EMT.
Right.
And just pushed the edge in the wrong way. And he actually finds one of these weapons that fell to Earth, and he has access to it. And he starts going on a, I want to say killing spree. He kind of selects his targets.
Right.
And Nigel has to stop him. But at the same time, the fun part about the Guillotine is that I'm using the image of Ray Park.
Oh, okay.
He's been a fan of mine for a long, long time. And pretty much I'm going to actually tell him at this convention that he is actually the villain in the book. And I think he's going to get a kick out of it. But it's a fun character.
So Ray's going to be at the Underground Comic Con?
No, he's here at this Wizard World.
Oh, okay.
Over Philly.
Okay.
He's here. So I haven't seen him for at least a good year or so because he was so busy doing G.I. Joe and stuff like that.
Yes.
So he hasn't really been doing cons until he just finally started doing the circuit again.
Right.
And I look forward to seeing him actually probably today or tomorrow.
Okay.
And just surprise him and say, hey, Ray, guess what? You're in book three.
Right. Because as you mentioned in the last interview, and people might not be able to understand what you're saying, Ray is actually a fan of the novels.
Yeah, he actually is. Actually, when I did the first book, and the funny thing about it, I met him over at Pittsburgh. And, you know, I went to his table. I said, Ray, I like your work. I mean, I love your Darth Maul. That was just awesome. And, I mean, you're inspired a little bit of what the character can do because of Darth Maul. And I gave him one of the Night Secret books, the first volume. And when I see him again at another convention, he called me over to his table and said, Eric, I want to talk to you. I said, hey, what's up? Dude, I like your book. It's pretty cool, pretty cool. I said, oh, thanks, Ray. You know, and after that, I just didn't think about it.
Right.
When book two came out, this was about 3 years ago, and I showed him. I said, hey, Ray, guess what? Book two. And he said, Eric, come on over here. I got to talk to you. I said, wait, Ray, you got a whole full line in front of you. What's going on? He said, I don't care, man. We got to talk. I said, you got book two? I said, yes, I got book two. And, you know, and also, the books that I do, they're caption novels,
right.
So there are illustrations inside of each chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And also, most of my artists from the book were actually here at the Wizard World.
Yes.
And he told me, look, Eric, I want you to bring all your artists over. I want to talk to all of them. So, I mean, actually took out time for me and also all my artists at one time. Took out a block of his time to cater to us.
Cool.
And that was freaking awesome. He said, Eric, I didn't want to get your hopes up too high. That first book was amazing. And I didn't want to get you too high because I didn't want you to really get a big head, but your stuff is awesome. I love, and every time I see my family tells me, make sure you say hi to Eric. And every time you see him,
cool.
So that's always the mission of his.
That's really nice.
Yeah,
And actually, I've met Sean.
Charlene.
Sean Arlene, when we were at Eckbach, who did the covers.
Well, mainly he does the covers for Night Seeker. Mainly, I put him in charge of the artwork that's inside the book. So he's my art director for Night Seeker.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Oh, he's awesome.
Very
guy.
Talented artist.
Yeah,
as well.
He's from Barbados. Been living in Philly for a long time, but also he runs a Zion Network. So he gathers a group of artists together to do projects, and he's been traveling pretty well. And people love his artwork because it has that nice, gritty, fun feel to it.
Yes.
It gives him more of a different perspective on things that he does.
Right.
And I love his spin on things. It's just great.
Yeah. I mean, it's he actually gave me a couple of really nice prints at the con. And, you know, very, like you said, there's a realism to it. There's a gritty, you know, feel to it. It's funny because hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him this weekend. When my wife went and saw one of the prints, she went, like, oh my. And I'm like, I really think that's the reaction he was going for.
That's what he's going for.
Yeah,
correct,
so
correct.
It's like he did his job, you know.
Yeah, and the nice thing about for him for Night Seeker is that even my writing is the part where I put all these different genres into a book. And the main response I get out of most people is like, oh, damn. And that's the reaction I want. I want to give you that part where you would never see it coming, but when it does come, it does make sense. And it's like, man, that is the right direction I want to see in his writing.
Yes.
And that's why I try to make sure the audience, my captive audience is never bored. That's my main thing.
Right. Yeah. No, and that's, you know, that's important as a writer. I think, too, a lot of times writers fall into traps, especially, you know, when they get to maybe the 10th novel in a series and you can kind of see things coming. hopefully that doesn't happen to you.
No. Well, I think the reason why it really won't, because of the different materials I do have out in the world. And also, I'm dealing with another superhero character. I mean, Night Seeker is the flagship character of mine.
Yes.
But I say probably the second ship to the flagship will be taking place on the West Coast. I can't say a name at the time because we're still writing it.
Understood.
But me and another writer, his name is Maul Simon. He's actually from Oregon. And we're writing also another book called Star Enforcers.
Mm-hmm.
But when I told him about this idea, he just wanted to jump on it. So it's going to be fun. And the art director I put in charge of this will be, his name is Nick Harris.
Right.
And he's already doing the concept drawings for the main character. And they're coming out great. And there's one other artist, new one I'm working with. His name is Elliot Bowman.
Mm-hmm.
He's creating some of the sub-characters in the plot of the main story. And it's great. These people love working with the stuff that I give them. It's awesome.
Cool. So a little bit about Eric Cooper, the man. So You're from Trenton, New Jersey, born and raised.
Oh, you said Trenton. So the last T is silent when you said it, too. Well, no, New Jerseyans, I'm sorry. Well, for most New Jerseyans, when we say Trenton, we're supposed to pronounce it Trenton.
The last T, we
don't say the last T for some strange reason, but that's just coming from my side of the fence. I was born and raised in Trenton. I went to mainly public schools. My last school, at least for high school, was a Catholic school. It was called McCorston. Mm-hmm. I graduated in 92. After that, I went to Mercer County College. Didn't have the money to really spend for a big school or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to go in robotic engineering. I was taking physics courses and trigonometry and everything else. After a while, it started getting a little too intensive for me. So I downgraded to doing computer graphics. I said, if I can't make Terminators, that's what I really wanted to do. Terminator really got me to science fiction.
Right.
But when the course was getting a little way too overboring for me, I decided to go to computer graphics. And I will admit, today's technology compared to what I was using back then has totally changed.
Yes.
I mean, to make like a square, I mean, you had to do these different points on the computer to make a square. Now just two touches and the square is done. It's like, wait, where's this at when I was taking school, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But, I mean, I always had a creative mind, so I wanted to do, computer games. And that didn't really fall through too well, so I just started working jobs. And now I'm currently at an optical shop. I sell glasses. But at the same time, that creative part never left me.
Right.
So I started writing books. But the book writing really came from a lot of depression I was going through in my life. I didn't know where I wanted to go,
right,
what I wanted to do. But I love movies, you know. I love watching TV at the time. Didn't read books that much, though. That's the funny part.
Okay.
I was never a book reader. I did like comic books. I collect like Terminator, Predator, RoboCop, and stuff like that.
Right.
But I guess as time went on, when I started doing these, started writing these books, those ideas came out from those different influences.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just, I found out some of the best writers are actually ones that go through some kind of depression in their life. And they put
this
feeling,
is true.
Yeah. And the therapy is putting their emotions and mindset on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, producing a story that, you know, you hope that people love. And when I did the first Night Seeker book, I wanted to burn that thing a million times. But something told me to keep on writing it. Didn't know why,
right,
but something higher, a higher power, whatever you want to call it, said, look, you got to finish this book. It's something that's meaningful to you. You got to do it. So when I finally got done, and I cried a few times, and I just didn't know why. And when I finally got done with it, I said, thank God it's done. But then when I released it, people were coming around and saying, look, we really love your character, and why is he so real? And I said, well, I based upon part of myself, but I said, why I love it so much? Because it's just something about him. I said, in a way, I said, I did it for me. I didn't do it for you guys.
Right.
I did it for me, not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But then people start catching on to it. And I guess it changed a lot of people's lives. I said, well, you know, you had Spider-Man, Batman, Superman, stuff like that. And you had like the biggest fans for those characters. And when they start actually reading Nightseeker, they say, you know what? This was the character that really changed my life. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the ones I've been following for years, but I said, well, wait, that's funny. I said, those other characters have been out for eons. And I got your attention with one book.
Right.
Imagine how powerful that is. When I got you second guessing your best character that mm-hmm. you love so much, and I replaced him with Nightseeker, that tells a lot about the character. It was something that's definitely looked forward to.
Well, I think you just spoke volumes, actually, because true art, I think, comes from inside. It's something personal. And true art, a lot of times, you don't do for an audience, you do for yourself.
Yeah.
But if it's good and it's true and it's real, it will connect with other people because there's something, we all have the same things in us.
Yeah.
And we might not realize it, but when we read a book and it's like, oh, wow, like this person is going through some of the same things I've gone through in my life, and I can sense that in this writing.
Yeah, you can relate.
You can relate to it. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, they've been around for so long, they're properties now. They're devices to sell books.
Yeah.
And there's not as much art in them as there used to be, unfortunately. And I think that's... Oh, the lights just went out.
Oh, no, it's motion detection. Oh, we're fine.
Okay.
There you go. But, yeah.
But, yeah, so there's not as much art in them anymore.
Yeah.
And you know, I've made this point on the podcast before that, you know, art is truth. You know,
yeah,
I think there's a lot of truth in what you're doing.
Yeah, and the nice thing about I'm using like different references from different characters and people is that I kind of base upon them. And you know what? And I'll take for one example, Patrick Stewart. He's in my first novel. He's playing the Devil's Messenger, Talbert Singe. And Pat, when he found out about it, you know, he said the Devil's Messenger. He said, I like the idea of that. That's different because he's so used to playing like a hero.
The good guy, right.
The good guy. Now I get to go on the dark side a little bit. And I think he liked the idea. Said, finally someone put me on the dark side.
He's someone awesome. I would love to see play a villain. I think he would just be a master at it.
Well, with him, I mean, he has a goatee, you know, he has a goatee in the thing. And he always wears like a very dark suit and a red shirt underneath of it. Being the Devil's Messenger, you know, you got to have a certain kind of swagger. And it's awesome. But also, he does make a cameo in the third book from the prologue.
Okay.
And we do an image of him in the auditorium. And
cool.
It's great. And I got to let him know about that one also. But the nice thing about... One thing I will say about separates my superhero character from the others that are pretty much known is that with him, the way he got his powers and the way he became who he became, it wasn't some kind of like explosion or some kind of spider bite or whatever like that. It was more of a life and death situation. He happened to be in the wrong place at the right time.
Right.
And, you know, even the way he got his powers is very unique and very different, but it was a part of it that was very plausible if it did ever happen. It might happen in this kind of direction.
Right.
And also, great thing about being Nigel Spinner when he's not the superhero,
mm-hmm.
and this separates him also from the other guys, is that most of, like, Bruce Wayne and, you know, just giving examples, Clark Kent, once they became, you know, their superhero side, they pretty much stopped growing as, I don't want to say as a person, but their dreams and everything else, they pretty much plateaued.
Right.
But Nigel, him still being a college student, he still wants to finish college. His main thing is to write books. He actually does write books in my world. And the funny thing about it, actually, he's writing a book about me. So it's actually the reversal. I'm writing about him, he's writing about me. And
that's
pretty
brilliant.
Funny. Yeah, it's different. And the thing is, he wants to go to Hollywood. He wants to write scripts.
Right.
And that's his goal. But he still does Nightseeker, you know, on the side when he has to. And
yes.
He's not like he patrols every night. No, he's heavy artillery. He's the kind of character you don't want on the scene unless it's truly absolutely necessary.
Right.
And that he'll let the officers do their job. But when necessary, he will come on and do what he has to do.
Right. You know, and it's fascinating because those who have been to convention have met you know this. Those who are listening. Eric also dresses a Nightseeker at the convention to promote the books.
Yeah,
it's a little freaky because you have your contacts in as we're talking, and they're a different color than his normal eyes. It takes a little getting used to at times.
Yeah.
But you know that's actually really cool because I mean you don't see people doing that. You don't see someone dressing up as Spider-Man one of the writers dressing up as Spider-Man to promote the newest arc.
Well, I will say, well, rule of thumb for cosplayers, which is true, and I've learned this from other ones, is that wearing lycra, spandex, whatever you want to call it, is a privilege, not a right.
It's not forgiving.
No, it is not. But from what I've seen from most creators of superheroes, they don't have the build or the look of their character. I took it to that step. And also, back in the day when I was depressed, I was heavier set. And so I really started getting into cosplay and writing and stuff. That was my motivation to get in shape. And Right. Now I teach other people how to get in shape also. So it's I went through a lot to get to where I am. But as they say, you can't give a testimony without going through a test.
Right, yes.
You know, and it's nice going to conventions, doing panels, and meeting other people that do cosplay. I said, man, I want to do the same thing you did. I said, well, this is how you get started.
You know, I think this should be a lesson to everyone listening. If you're a little depressed, you're going through some stuff, start writing. I mean, even if you're not writing to make a book, write for yourself.
Or even do artwork. Yeah. You know, even paintings or any kind of murals, whatever motivates you to do something different that really well, the thing is that they said if you're going through something in life, do something else because then it'll just fade away.
Yes, yes, very true. So another thing we talked about last time, and I want to bring it up again. Mm-hmm. There's also a couple comics out based on the character that a couple artists and writers you know have done them for you.
Yeah, correct.
Tell us the story again about how that came about.
Yeah, well, the first one is a color comic of Nightseeker. And the funny part about this one was that when the second novel came out, Nightseeker, I was invited over to one of my artist's house. His name is Blair Smith. And, you know, he invites someone for dinner. Eric is sitting there talking and eating. You know, he's having a good time. And he said, you know, Eric, Nightseeker needs a comic book. It really needs a comic book. I said, Blair, you know what? I know, and people have been hounding me for one. I'm not a comic book writer. I mean, I could do it if I really wanted to, but I really just stick to novels and do my thing. And he said, well, look, I took the work out for you. I said, what are you talking about? So he puts in front of me, you know, a whole these big, huge pages of what he's done already to do the comic. He's already started coloring it in. And he said, well, and I do have a writer for you. I said, well, who's the writer? Well, someone that you kind of met over at Wizard World, and he likes what you did. He loves the character. His name is Keith Thomas. And so they pretty much combined efforts together, and pretty much it was almost done when I had finally seen it.
Right.
And I said, oh, damn. All I had to do was just say, okay, give the okay. I said, that was great. I said, Blair, why did you do it? Because he said, I believe in the character. He's totally different.
Yes.
And that's why I did it. I said, oh, that's awesome, dude. And then once that was complete, it was called Smoke and Mirrors. And after that, I needed something different from that. And I was talking to one of my other artists. His name is Nick Harris. He's over in Atlanta, Georgia. And I said, Nick, I have an idea for doing a short film. But I really don't have the abilities at the moment and the actors and stuff. I want the equipment to do it. I said, let's just do like a comic book piece. Can you actually do the drawings for me? I said, mm-hmm. Here's the script. So I gave him the script, and he just started going to town.
Right.
And when he was completed, it was all black and white, great ink.
Yes.
And Blair did some touch-up work on it, and it was awesome. It's like a trailer movie to the first Nightseeker book.
Yeah.
And I would say that would be more of if Hollywood was looking at something to do different. Okay, here's an outline of what we expect to see movie-wise.
Yeah, no, and it's because I've read both the comics, and that one, you know, it's funny because I kind of thought they were written the opposite direction, too, when you read them. You kind of think, because the second book kind of just takes place in the middle of a story. You don't really know everything that's going on.
Yeah.
And it works. It's a nice book. But the other one, you definitely have a more beginning, middle, and feel to it.
Correct.
Like, you could tell it was plotted out, thought through by the actual creator.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, if you see them at the con, pick them both up. They're both great reads.
Yeah.
To me, that's really great, too. And it's funny because I'm a fan of Jim Butcher, and I've read all of the Dresden File books,
mm-hmm.
and he started doing graphic novels based on
correct he did,
and it's funny because I met him a couple years ago at New York Comic Con, mm-hmm. and I brought the graphic novels to be signed because I'm a comic book guy. I've always – those who are listening to this, it's no surprise.
Yes.
I'm a huge comic book fan. So when I when he met me, he's like, wow, I don't get much people asking me to sign these. It's always my book. Mm. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm a comic book fan, and yes, I've read all the books, but when these came out, I had to get them. And he's like – and then he tells me, he's like, you know, well, that's actually – it's funny. When I – originally was creating the character, I envisioned it as a comic book, but I'm not a comic book artist, so I ended up writing the books.
Yep.
You know, and then 12 novels later, someone at an independent company said, oh, we could do a comic book together, and mm-hmm. let's put this out. And so, you know, I thought that was a great story. You know, he yeah. signed it. And,
that's the great thing about novels, is that that is a starting base for almost any media.
Right.
Whoever wants to take it to a different direction, they will. I mean, even look at the Bible itself. You know, I'm not religious or anything, but, you know, how many different spinoffs of the Bible has there been?
I mean,
even that new series now, the Bible, people love it, actually. Even if you're not religious, they've said they love the idea of the series. It's
right.
great. But those are some of the best stories out there, actually, in humanity, is the Bible stories.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, but they're very well-done stories.
Well, they're some of the oldest written stories to man that have survived for thousands of years. And there's basic concepts in those stories that people still use today in everything that's been written.
Correct.
You know? So, yes, there's definitely appeal. If something is written well and has a good base to it, you know, it'll last.
Well, that's the
main
thing.
Just like Nightseeker.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Well, and also, the story has to have purpose also.
Right.
It's got to have purpose. I mean, it's, you know, well, the movies nowadays, I hate to say this, but the movies nowadays is just entertainment value only.
Yes.
There's no true purpose of learning anything from it. I would say probably the last true film that actually really made you think about things, about your way of life and everything else, was probably the first Matrix.
Yes, definitely.
Because when you left out of theater, you thought to yourself, now am I in the Matrix? Because
right.
where you are in life, you know, it made you think about, you know, am I doing enough? Am I embracing life? Am I just letting life lead me, or am I
right.
leading life? You know, and it's just one of those movies that really makes you stop and say, aha, now I get it.
It's actually funny. It's one of the last movies that I saw in the theater multiple times. I loved it that much. But you're right, exactly. I walked out of there like, am I living life, or am I just a cog in the machine and not
yeah.
really know what's going on around me?
Correct.
Yes.
And a lot of people are like that in life. And, you know, I always say with myself is that when you walk, you know, do you hold yourself in a different posture, or are you just aimlessly walking? You know, people
right.
that have direction, you can tell by their posture, you can tell by their manners and the way they speak.
Yes.
You know, everything's a factor in your appearance. It does show. And even the way you talk, like I said, you live the way you speak.
Yes.
And I've always said that. I said, look, I want to do a book. I want to write a book. I said, well, you know, saying it and actually doing it are two different things. You know, a lot of people want to write books.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people have stories to tell, but you got to have a reason why you do it. If you don't have a reason why you do it, you'll never get it done.
Exactly.
And that's what I teach in my classes, I do for my panels, that you got to have a reason why you do it.
Yes. And that's true. You know, but like we already said, you know, if you're going through stuff, it is good therapy. I've written stuff that will never see the light of day, but...
Oh, you never know. You might surprise yourself.
You know, I mean, I've had an idea for a comic book for years, but it's just, you know, A, getting the courage to talk to people about it that actually can draw, and, you know, B, having the discipline to sit down and actually script something out.
I teach those classes, just so you know.
All right.
So you might want to come to my...
Once the mics go off, we might have to talk.
Yeah, we might want to come to my panel at 1 o'clock on Friday. Well, actually today, really.
1 o'clock today, all right. Well, this will be up after the panel. So.
Oh, shame.
All right. Well, we're at about a half hour. So we're at Wizard World this weekend.
In Philly.
Because
yes. they have multiple Wizard Worlds. Yes,
yes. yes. And then you have the Underground Comic-Con coming up. Anything else you want to plug?
I guess it would be going – mainly if you want to learn more about Nightseeker, is going to nightseeker.com. But keep one thing about Nightseeker. Starts with a K, not an N.
Yes.
And actually, the funny part of the whole thing, when I first started writing the character, I was going to call it Night Stalker. The guys loved it. The girls,
not so much.
But when I did come up with the idea of the name Nightseeker, it actually stood for a couple things about it, because he is a knight because he does have a sword. Most superhero characters don't carry a sword. Mine
right.
does. And as far as a seeker, a Seeker is actually more of an alien cop, and that's what we start calling him. And he is seeking to find those weapons. So it kind of has a double meaning to it, you know, being a knight and being, you know, seeking these other weapons. It pretty much concrete in the character what he is. And it's just a great concept.
Cool. So?
Yeah, so that's...
Nightseeker.com. There is a Facebook fan page, right?
Yes, there is a Facebook fan page also.
And then at Nightseeker on Twitter, though I know you don't update it as much anymore.
As much as I used to, yeah, I know. I've been a lazy cow.
All right. Thank you for being gracious about the issues with the podcast. Again, I apologize.
Dave. No. Look, we had a good time. Yes. We ate well. I had my Jonestown chicken. I was in heaven. But when I heard recording, I said, "Oh my god, all the background noise." Dave, do you want to do this again?
And you do realize I ran that through a bunch of filters to clean it up as well.
Whoa, really?
It was much worse before I posted it. So yes. So thanks you again. Thank you again, and thank you to all you who are listening. And as always, don't let your cape get caught in the door. Have a good day.
Thanks.